Here we are at January the 23rd. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, speak to us. If you do not speak, we will never hear words that will lead us to eternal life, will never set us free, will never understand and never be able to follow you. Help us, who are blind and deaf and captive, set us free. Holy Spirit of God, speak to your people. Amen. The Gospel today is Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 14 through verse 21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Wow. What a beginning to a sermon. You read at the very beginning of this section that Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. You need to know that the temptation in the wilderness is over. And because he is fully man, he must have the power of the Spirit of God to do God's will. Jesus needed God's power, and so do we. We too must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, how was Jesus filled and why? Indeed, he was always filled. And he was so because he had total obedience to his Father in heaven. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Jesus had total obedience. So how is it that we can be filled and anointed and empowered with the Holy Spirit? Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey me. And I will ask the Father to give you another comforter, the Holy Spirit." We have to love him, obey him, and then we receive. And if we do not have God's power, we will not do God's works, which are often imitated, but never equaled. And we need the power of God's Spirit all the time. And we cannot rely on past blessings. You may remember that Jesus went up a mountain called the Mount of Transfiguration because of what happened there. And he only took Peter, James, and John with him. Well, the other disciples were left behind, and they were approached by a father who had a son who was an epileptic demoniac, and he asked them to heal the son and cast out the demon. Well, they tried to heal him, to cast it out, and they couldn't. This perplexed them because previously Jesus had given them this power and authority, and they had indeed had that ability. Well, why don't they have it now? They were self-confident. Jesus came back down the mountain, the Father approached him, and Jesus healed his son. And the disciple says, well, why couldn't we do it? And Jesus says, these things come only by prayer. We have to rely on the Lord every moment of every day. You see, God has things for every Christian to do, but we can only do them if we rely on him for guidance and ability. And that's just the same for the church that you are a member of. See, the question is, would you live a life committed to God's will? Would you love him and obey him? Then ask, as he himself tells us to ask, for the gift of his Holy Spirit to enable you to serve him. So Jesus comes to Nazareth, and as he always did, he went to the synagogue. Hear me on this. The Son of Man worshipped every Sabbath, and so therefore must we. I often hear people who come to a church and then they leave it and you say, well, why did you leave? Because it didn't meet my needs. That's just nonsense. We come to church to worship not for our needs, but about serving God and meeting his needs, his requirement for us. No wonder the writer of Hebrews says, don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Think about this for a moment. A church that meets your needs? Was there ever a church? Will there ever be a church that meets Jesus' needs? Of course not. The Lord Jesus Christ meant us to fellowship, to worship the Lord. That's our need, not some kind of spiritualized psychotherapy. The Lord Jesus Christ meant us to fellowship together and worship together. And so we read, he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. You see, he'd been invited to preach. The president of the synagogue each Sabbath would ask a rabbi to preach a sermon. Well, of course, Jesus was a rabbi, and he was also a celebrity rabbi, and he was the local boy made good. And so he stood up to read. He was invited to preach. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. This is what he had requested. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. Well, now, you need to understand, he is quoting what we understand as Isaiah 61. But he had the scroll at the very beginning. So the people watched him as he unrolled and unrolled and unrolled and unrolled until he got almost to the end of Isaiah. And then he reads, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and the recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He says he's been anointed to preach good news to the poor. We're not talking just financially poor here, but those who are poor in spirit. Do you remember the Beatitude in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor here refers to whoever, no matter what their financial status is, who knew their desperate need of God's grace and forgiveness. Now, in that culture, as is the case today, Those who were poverty-stricken were discounted by others. You see, riches were considered a blessing by God. If you weren't rich, you were not favored. And when Jesus said to his disciples how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, they were absolutely shocked and said, well, who then can be saved? Now, why did they say that? Because only the rich could afford to give alms to the poor and so earn their salvation. And Jesus answered them all and said, what is impossible for man is possible for God. See, God calls us to be holy. And without that holiness, we shall not see God. The problem with the Pharisees thought that they were righteous because they compared themselves to other men. Oh, I'm righteous compared to some other people. I'm thinking in my prison ministry, how I dealt with people that were murderers, people that were child murderers, people that were predatory paedophiles. Compared to them, I was the epitome of holiness. The question is not, am I as good as other men? The question is, dear people, am I good compared to God? That's the right question. And the answer, of course, is, no, I am not. And because I am not, I need good news. I need the gospel. And that good news is Christ crucified for my sins and yours if you would believe on him. And Jesus came to preach good news to the poor. And he came to proclaim liberty to the captives, slaves. Well, you say, I am not a slave. And the Lord Jesus Christ says something that's very hard, very offensive, very difficult for us to accept. He says clearly and boldly, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. John chapter 8, verse 34. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Because of original sin, we are all born slaves to sin. Only the truth of Christ crucified can set us free. I am so glad that Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And Jesus also said, I have been anointed to give recovery of sight for the blind. You see, sin blinds us to the truth of God in the gospel. Paul speaks in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the God of this age, I would add, this is Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Are you a Christian? You have been given sight. How does that song go? Once I was blind, but now I see. See, Jesus came to show us our great need of forgiveness, to set us free from sin and enable us to see, hear, understand, and embrace the gospel of Christ. Well, after all this, we read in our gospel reading that he gave back the scroll of Isaiah to the attendant and then said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now, what today of you and I? I thank God that I have been enabled to hear, see, and made free to accept the gospel, so that I can serve him and follow him. Amazing grace how sweet the sound. So I do not ask of you today if you are perfect or holy, because none of us are perfect and none of us are completely holy. I ask this only: do you know of your poverty? And do you know of his riches freely offered? Do you know that you have been set free to serve him? Have you received sight that you may see Christ and him crucified for you? Are you now free and able to follow him? In other words, dear folks, have these words of God through Isaiah, spoken by Jesus, been fulfilled in your life also? May God bless us, lead us, and within us let the light of his gospel shine. Amen.